You know, here in Cincinnati, we have a wealth of great writers, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome yet another writer with Cincinnati roots to the Book Club studio to talk about her latest work. In the studio with me is Sherry Goldhagen, and her sophomore novel, her second novel, is called In Some Other World, Maybe, a novel that is at least partially set here in Cincinnati and a fun read. Sherry Goldhagen, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you for having me.
I mentioned the sophomore novel. Your first debut novel was Family and Other Accidents. And I wanted to find out whether you thought the sophomore novel was easier or more difficult after having gotten that debut novel off your desk.
Well, this took a long time, obviously. It's been, I think, nearly 10 years between the books. So I think that this was a bit of a struggle for me at some points. I've always heard about the sophomore curse, and it appears that that's that's a thing. It probably didn't help that I wrote like a whole other novel that I put aside in between, but hopefully I'll go back to that. But no, I mean, it took a while, but I feel pretty good about this one. Well, now it's finally here.
Yeah, you do notice a note. I can't remember what's in the acknowledgments or in the beginning. It must be in the acknowledgments where you talk about this was years in the making. What was the delay in bringing In Some Other World Maybe to the public?
I think this happens to a lot of people. After, you know, I published my first book, I was kind of confused about what to do next. Growing up, that was always my goal, was, oh, I'm going to publish a novel. And then, you know, my first book came out, and I realized I needed to have another plan. I hadn't thought beyond that, so I had to take some time. And like I said, I did start a lot of other things and stop them and, go back. And, you know, I live in New York now. It's expensive. I had to do some other things, some day job type things. So it did take a while. But like I said, I think there's another book that I'm going to go back to that hopefully that one won't take, 10 years. Hopefully that one's almost done. Sophomore slump.
Or at least an extended sophomore.
Yeah, extended sophomore.
Well, I mentioned you grew up in Cincinnati. What are your roots here in the Queen City?
I grew up in the Blue Ash Montgomery area. I went to Sycamore High School. I was I think I was the entertainment editor of The Leaf, which was the newspaper. So I was here, and then I went to Northwestern in Chicago. Then I was back in Ohio at Ohio State for grad school, and now I'm in New York. But I get home quite a bit because my whole family is still here. And a lot of them showed up at Joseph Beth on Saturday, which was lovely. I'm a Cincinnati girl. We actually get the Skyline chili in cans delivered in New York because we miss it.
Well, how do you feel that having grown up in Cincinnati, you know, what kind of perspective did that lend you as a writer? Because I've had a couple of authors who have have had differing answers to that question. I'm interested in what yours is, Sherry.
Well, Cincinnati is... Well, first of all, people, on either coast just assume that Ohio is like really, they have no idea where it is. They think it's just sort of next door to everything else. So there's that. But also Cincinnati is such a strange city that you kind of have to explain to people that, it's a city. It's pretty conservative, yet we have like a really big, good arts community. So it's just a little bit of a, it's a little enigmatic. You have to explain that to people. I don't think you really get it until you've been here. And no one gets the chili. I love it. I actually worked at a Skyline Chili in high school. No one gets it.
Well, it's a very special place. And I just recently spoke to Mimi Sheridan, former New York Times restaurant critic, and she mentioned Cincinnati chili, specifically Camp Washington. She didn't think the Skyline was quite up to par. But that's another conversation for another day. Tell us about In Some Other World, Maybe. This new novel, it follows four people as their lives intersect and spread out again. And I told you before we went on the air that I wanted you to kind of, give a pitch for it because I was afraid I'd give the wrong thing away regarding this story.
Sure. Well, so I've always been kind of interested in these cultural phenomena type events, like, the first time you see Star Wars or, hear the Rolling Stones. And a lot of them are shared. Everyone has that sort of experience. So my idea was I took, three separate groups of teenagers in three different cities, and they all go see the opening premiere of this movie that's based on a comic book that they've made into a movie. And so they all go for different reasons. And then hilarity and drama ensue in some of the cases. And then the book just follows them for the next 20 years, and their lives intersect. And weirdly, or not weirdly because I wrote it, but but there, you know, this one, you know, movie that they saw actually does have a pretty big impact for the rest of their lives, or for at least the next 20 years. So that's kind of what the book is about. I really like stories that follow people for a while, so you can sort of see the cause and effect. You know, I've been to a little bit of therapy, and they always say, "Oh, what happened in your childhood?" So, you know, I've given it to you here. These characters, this is what happened to them in their childhood, and this is how it affects them when they grow up. So that's what it's about. I've also been a comic book dork for quite some time, and so I got to invent, you know, a whole sort of comic book series that then becomes a movie, that then becomes a TV show, and so that was really fun for me as well.
Sherry Goldhagen, her new novel is In Some Other World, Maybe, available where books are sold. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. And you mentioned that movie. Of course, I remember Star Wars, but for the movie that's in your new novel, it's Eons and Empires,
yes.
If I remember correctly.
That is correct.
And you say you're a comic book nerd from way back. Was there a movie that in this timeline that you had in mind, or was it just, it could have been any one of many?
There was nothing really specific, but I do remember one of the characters in the book actually sort of, it's a very private thing for her, this, you know, love of this comic book she has, like she doesn't want to share it with anyone. And that is something that, you know, I felt growing up. You know, it wasn't something my friends were interested in. It wasn't something I talked about with them. So it was this very weirdly private thing, even though it's, you know, just a comic book. So I really sort of drew on that for the book. And it's just, it's interesting because today, you know, there's so many like internet communities, like, you know, fan communities and stuff that I would have found plenty of people to share this interest with. But when I was growing up, that, you know, in the 90s, that wasn't really a thing. And so, you know, I was just reading comic books like locked in bathrooms and, you know, sneaking them under the other books at the library. But again, today that wouldn't be a problem.
Well, one of the many settings is Cincinnati here in the new novel. And I was wondering, since that character, Sharon Gallagher, 1G only,
yeah.
How much was that informed or how much just inspired from true life events?
I mean, I think I sort of deliberately made her a lot like me on paper. Like she works for some of the kind, you know, she grows up, she works for magazines that I've worked for, similar kinds of magazines. You know, she's from Cincinnati. She has the same, you know, initials I do. But I think actually we're very, very different. I feel like my aesthetic or whatever, my worldview is a lot more similar to some of the other characters in the book. But it was fun to sort of like, you know, plant little things that I wondered if people would pick up on. So that was fun. And there's, you know, some, you know, all the characters in the book are sort of me in some ways and sort of not me in a lot of ways. You know, I do write fiction that's fiction for the most part. But that was sort of fun to have those little, you know, oh, look, it's kind of like me moments.
Yeah, inspired by real life. Well, yeah. You mentioned assigning it Joseph Beth. And I was wondering with the people you grew up with and family here in Cincinnati, what their reactions been to it. And did they go, oh, are you? Am I?
Well, the one thing I did do, and I always do this, is I, for like, you know, little characters that aren't, don't have a whole lot going on, like they might just be mentioned or references, I always do put in, you know, someone's name or someone's kid's name, because it's, I think it's fun for them. And it's a good way to see if they actually read the book.
Yes.
So I do, you know, throughout there's, you know, names of some of my kids or some of my friends' children and just other people. So I know they saw that. My first book was all about orphans because I didn't want my parents going through and finding, you know, places where they're like, oh, is that how you feel about us? So in this book, there are some parents, but in general, I try to keep the fiction. But there are those little Easter eggs in there for anyone who's reading carefully.
I wondered, as a writer, is that something you sometimes worry about, having friends, family, associates who are trying to read themselves into your work?
I think that always happens. Like I said, there's a reason so many, you know, characters in fiction are orphans, because no one wants their parents like scouring. But sometimes you don't even realize it. Like in my last book, there was a little section that wasn't, you know, important at all, but I didn't even realize the story had happened to a friend of mine. And when she read it, she was actually hurt that I had used it, because it was such a like just random thrown in there thing. And it had been a very big thing to her. And I felt terrible. So you do have to sort of be careful of that, is, you know, stealing things from other people and shoving them in your book. But, you know, hopefully that didn't happen here.
I'm speaking with Sherry Goldhagen. Her book is In Some Other World, Maybe, a novel. Learn more at wvxu.org. And As I was reading this and following the story is very engrossing, but you jump from place to place and character to character. I was wondering how you kept it all organized. I've spoke to some writers who, I plan it all out. I have a wall full of index cards, and others who say, oh, I just write it. It works itself out. But do you have a method to your madness, Sherry?
Well, I think the problem was I just wrote it and figured it would work itself out. And then when, after we'd sold the book and my editor and I were going over it, we realized there were several timeline things that needed to be adjusted. And the copy editor just gave up. So my editor and I I made these giant charts where I listed every single event that happened in every character's lives, the year, how old they were. And, I did it for each character and made sure they all matched up as best they could. and it's really tricky, too, because, the age thing, especially characters, they don't all have the same birthday. So you actually had to give them a birthday and then keep track of, when their birthday had happened. And it was time-consuming. I think I went a little crazy. My husband was very worried about me during that time. I think I stayed up for 3 days straight doing it.
So advice for an upcoming writer would just stay more organized?
Yeah, I would say, make the outline earlier so you don't have to do that in the revision.
Well, many years in between that first novel and this one. How do you think your writing has changed between family and other accidents and in the new novel In Some Other World, Maybe?
So I do think anyone reading my first book and would not be surprised by this book. I think that the style is similar. It follows multiple characters over multiple, years. So that's very similar. But I do feel like I've sort of come maybe more into my own as an adult. Some of, my first book was my MFA thesis, essentially. So I was still a young pup at the time. And now I have all this worldly experience. And one other thing is I actually had a child earlier this year, and I realized that the children I'd written earlier were not at all like actual children. So that was good research. So hopefully my kids will now be more realistic in my fiction from my actual kid.
So enjoy being a writer. I mean, you mentioned early on that you did entertainment writing for your school paper. Went on to work in magazines doing gossip stuff. And, so is there a tie there, Sherry, between, the celebrity almost fantasy life that you follow and write about on one hand and this fiction that you create on the other?
I mean, I think that this book, I sort of harvested a bit of my time at the Celebrity Weeklies, Us Weekly, Life and Style, The National Enquirer, those kind of places. I don't think there's necessarily much crossover, but when I got to New York, I needed to do something. And so I started working at the Enquirer because that's who was hiring. The New Yorker was not hiring. And so I started working at the Enquirer, and it was great. Not only did I really actually get to do reporting, which I'd not done much of before, that was amazing, but I met amazing people. And, that gossip writing is really fun, and it's a great escape for people. I'm proud to say that I'm a celebrity journalist and a, author of literary fiction. And I don't think there's any, real disconnect there that people sometimes think there would be.
Well, not really, because sometimes real life's crazier than fiction, right?
Yeah. And people just want good stories, whether it's Kim Kardashian or whether it's this novel. People just want a good narrative they can follow.
And the intersections in this book are many, where these characters cross paths, different times, different places. Was this that interaction, that intersection interaction, something that you planned, or was it just as you started writing the book something that grew out that you said, oh, well, I think, he'll sit on a plane next to so-and-so?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it was both. There were some interactions I had planned from the beginning. But then as I was writing, I realized, this character actually could legitimately be standing next to this character here. And I think that actually happens a lot. I mean, probably not as much as is in the book. But I've, been in Italy and stood next to someone I knew from, high school and not even realized it until we started talking. Lots of things like that do happen to me, at least. I've sat on planes next to people who, were 1 degree away from me. So I definitely think it does happen. And so it was kind of fun for me. And I mean, I don't necessarily know that everyone reading is going to get every little, connection, and you don't need to. But I think some of the people who've read it so far have said that that was really fun for them to sort of see the places where the characters bump into each other.
Well, especially it was always fun to discover that they had bumped into each other after the fact, and you do that very well in your book. So, well, great story. please don't take 10 years to wait for your next one, Sherry.
Hopefully not.
Sherry Goldhagen. Her new novel is In Some Other World, Maybe. More about Sherry and the book at our website, wvxu.org. And the four characters, fascinating in their stories and backgrounds and their interactions. And fun to see the parts that are set in Cincinnati as well. Check it out. In Some Other World, Maybe, a novel by Sherry Goldhagen. This is the Book Club at 91.7. Been listening to the Book Club at 91.7. Producer is Kevin Reynolds. Rick Andrus is music director and segment engineer. Jim Nolan is web guru. Robin Carey Allgaier is the announcer. Technical director is Bruce Ellis. And Bruce, what are you reading?
Mark, I'm reading Havana Storm by Clive and Dirk Kussler. I have read I don't know how many books by this guy. I keep reading them, though. They're basically formulaic. You know what's going to happen. You know at the end everybody's going to be fine. But I still read them, and they are delicious to read. I love Clive Cussler adventures.
Thanks, Bruce. And I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for listening. And remember, we like hearing from you about the books you're reading and the books you've read. Right now, we're posing the question, what book have you read over and over? Call 513-352-9188 and let us know. And then tune in for the Book Club at 91.7 next Saturday morning. You just might hear yourself on the air. What book have you read over and over? Call 352-9188 and let us know. Thanks again. Stay tuned for Weekend Edition next on 91.7 WVXU.